Blog Talk Radio.
So I just wanted to say that before I sing, because you know what? We've got him to turn to. Always. He's never not there. I mean, sometimes we got to come and confess our sins in order to get the line clear, because he's not going to hear us if there's sin in between us and him and if it's unconfessed. And so we got to come and we got to confess our sins and get right. But boy, when we get right, the victory comes. God sends the deliverance. Anyway, and I just want to share that. I just want to talk about that just a minute.
Tempted to sin,
I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. One for Jesus, we wouldn't have a bit of hope in this whole world. So thankful today to be saved. And I want to welcome in all those that are listening to us out there in the world who are listening by way of technology somehow or another. We thank you for tuning in. We want you to know that we love you this morning. We're glad you tuned in. We don't love you because we know you. We just love you because you cared enough to share your morning or your afternoon or your night with us, and we're thankful to be able to be used of the Lord in your life. And like I just got through singing, Jesus will help you, and he's the only one that can. Nobody can do what he can do. Nobody. All right, we're going to continue on our studies, part 84 of Getting to Know Jesus. Part 84, and instead of turning to our place in the Gospels where we normally turn, I want you to look over in Psalm. Turn over to Psalm with me. We're going back over to Matthew this morning, and that's where we're going to take our text from. But I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5, and we're going to hold our place there. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Just find it and put your mark there and your finger there or something there, and then turn back with me to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 18, 21 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to go ahead and just read that, and then we'll pray, and we're going to go back and look in Psalms. Matthew chapter 18, I'll give everybody time to find that. Matthew chapter 18, 21 to the end of the chapter. All right. So let's not forget where we've been and what we've been talking about. Jesus answered a question. The disciples asked him, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And it was probably a question when it was all over with, they really wished they hadn't asked. Because it was not the answer that they were expecting. Last week in part 83 of this series, the title of sermon was Act Like Children. And the Lord used a child to demonstrate to these disciples that being great in the kingdom of heaven has nothing to do with being a big grown man and being able to speak eloquently or being able to be strong. It had nothing to do with being a man. It had to do with being a child. And I know that men here on earth and women, not just men, but men and women, we take a lot of pride in achievement. We really do. We're taught that all our life. You want to win the top spot. If you are in school, you want to win the valedictorian. If you want to graduate with honors. You want to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying your best. I'm not downing that at all. But we want to have things out after our name to show how far we've come. We want to get awards and things of that nature and people to other people to write things about us and brag on us. And I mean, a lot of people, that's the way they live. It's all about achievements. It's all about a resume. And I think that's what these men were trying to kind of get across. Hey, you know, we've come a long way with you, Jesus, here in the last year and a half, 2 years or so, and we really want to know who's the best. Well, and he let them know by putting that child in the middle of them and showing that doing things the way kids do it is so often better than the way grown-ups go about handling life. Jesus talked about how that, you know, his will, it's his will to not stand around and brag on who's the best, but to go after the one who's the most in trouble. It's, you know, it's not a popularity contest being a Christian. We talked about that last week. And then we talked about how we're to handle problems between brothers in Christ, how things are to be handled. And, you know, Christ is going to kind of go from that into what we're talking about this morning, which is forgiveness. God is a God of forgiveness. I mean, that's what salvation's all about. It's forgiveness. That's what the Christian life is all about, is forgiveness. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to live like a Christian, and if you want to please the Lord at all, that's one of the key things you're going to have to learn as a Christian, is forgiveness. And so let's go ahead and let's read verse 21 through 35. If you would turn there in your Bible, let's look at it. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. So went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I come before you now. And Lord, I ask first and foremost for my own self, that Lord, you'd speak to me. Lord, that you'd teach me to be forgiving. You'd teach me to have mercy upon others. Lord, that you'd empower me to do it. That you'd guide my thoughts to do it. Lord, I want to be Christ-like in that regard. I don't want to be unmerciful. I don't want to be hard-hearted. Oh, Lord God, guard and protect my heart from that. Lord, help me to be quick to forgive. Lord, not to hold grudges at all. Father, help us today to see your true character. Let us look as we walk in this yoke with Jesus. Lord, may we look up and see our Savior and truly see his character, truly understand just who we're walking with. And Lord, may we in admiration seek with all our hearts to be like him. Father, I pray today you'd, by the Holy Ghost, open our understanding, sharpen our focus, give us clear vision as to what we're looking at today. Speak to us personally. Talk to us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, I want us to turn in our Bible to Psalms. Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. I'm sorry, 86. I said 85 earlier, but I meant 86. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5. I want you to hear what the psalmist said, what David said about the Lord and his forgiving. David knew a little something about forgiveness. We have to remember, you know, we look at David and we think, oh, David's such a great guy. But David, he was a man of God, but he was also a murderer. We don't like to think about that, but David was a murderer. And not just murder of anybody, murdered his best friend. One of his truly best friends in this world, and he did it over lust. Because he had committed adultery with his best friend's wife, and got her pregnant, and tried to hide the pregnancy, and tried to do a cover-up, but did not work. When his cover-up didn't work, he had him murdered. This is a child of God. I hear people say all the time, when somebody's got a bad attitude about them, well, you can't be saved. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Save people sin. Save people fall down. Save people do things that God absolutely hates. But I also see in Psalm 51 where David turned to God. In Psalm 51 where David repented before God. I'm not going to read all of it, but I just wanted to turn over real quick and kind of just look at what I'm talking about. But in Psalm 51, David cried out to God, and he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Boy, you just keep on whining to me, and eventually I might break down and forgive you. When you're really, really, really sorry, I may have to listen to you whine and cry about it for about a year before I'm going to ever forgive. God's not like that. God's not looking to have a chip on his shoulder against you. God's not looking to hold a grudge against you and just rub your face in it forever. God is not looking to do that because God is not evil. God doesn't have a bad day. God has nothing but goodness about him. God is just. The Bible said, David said, God, you're good. When somebody's good, you know you can go to them and get good from them because that's what they are. Well, our God is love. Our God is mercy. Our God is goodness. He said, thou art good and ready to forgive. God is expecting you to come so he can give you forgiveness. God is waiting for us. Every time we sin, every time we fall down, every time we fail him, God is waiting, ready to forgive. God is not saying, oh, no. You're going to have to grovel a while. God wants us to come right to him then and seek forgiveness. He's ready to forgive. And the Bible says he's plenteous in mercy. Ain't nobody going to show up and say, God, have mercy on me. And God said, well, you know, that last person that just came to me got the last of my mercy, so too bad. I'm out. Deal with it. No, God's not like that, is he? God is, you'll never, that means you'll never have a time when you need to come to him to seek forgiveness that God won't grant it if you'll come. Unto all them that call upon thee. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're old, whether you're little. Whether you're a pretty good person, just messed up a little here and there. Or you're somebody that has a terrible problem. God is merciful. I'm sure thankful for that. Because you know what? I'm rotten. I'm lousy. I get a bad attitude sometimes. I get ugly sometimes. I lose my temper sometimes. I'm thankful God is merciful to me. Sometimes I just get aggravated and I don't care. I shouldn't be that way. I know that. My flesh gets the better of me and drags me down to a level I don't want to live at. Somehow God always seems to forgive me. He never turns me away. All right, turn over to Psalm 103. We're going to get back to Matthew in a minute, but I've got several places we're going to look at this morning. Matthew 103. We'll begin there in verse 8 in just a second. Psalm 103, again, David talking about the Lord and how good he is. In verse 8, he said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." I like that word. When I think of gracious, I get a mental image of a sweet grandma saying, "Y'all come on in here and get you something to eat and sit down here at my table." And she just go to the refrigerator and start putting something to drink on the table and start looking in the pantry and trying to get you something to eat and trying to take care of all your creature comforts and make sure you're taken care of. That's graciousness. That's somebody who wants to do things to bless you. That's who our God is. God is not God. So many people have this idea of God. I understand we're to fear God. We're to fear Him. And we're to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We're to fear God. But at the same time, we're not to have a scared fear of God. We're to have a fear of God in the fact that we don't want to displease Him. We're to have a fear of God in the fact that we don't want to walk away from Him. We want to be close to Him. We don't want to be distant from Him. We don't want to dishonor Him and bring shame upon His name. No, we're to have a fear of ruining our testimony and making Him look bad. We don't have a fear of that. But not fear to come near to Him. Not fear to come and see Him. Not fear to come before Him. Come into His throne room to come and seek forgiveness and seek cleansing and seek fellowship and seek togetherness. We're to seek all those things. And listen, thank God that God is merciful and gracious. He wants you to come to Him. He wants to give you mercy. David said the Lord is slow to anger. That's the opposite of us. I say that. I don't know. Other people are not the same as me. And I have to admit, the older I've gotten, the shorter my temper has gotten, and I know that's not a good thing. Y'all pray for me. I have a quicker trigger than I used to have, and I shouldn't. Because if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I'm going to have to be slow to anger too, because that's what God is. And He's the bar. He's the mark I'm shooting for. It ain't you. It's God. He's slow to anger. He's not listening. Oh, we can't just ruin everything. We get this fear. Oh, we're going to lose our salvation. Well, I don't think we do anymore because we know the Bible. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there who've believed on Christ who are scared they're going to lose their salvation all the time. They go around all day long afraid they're going to lose it. I wouldn't want to live like that. But you know what? That's the way they live because they don't understand God. Because God is slow to anger. You can't exhaust His patience that easy. That doesn't mean we ought to take advantage of Him either. But thank God that He is slow to anger. And He's plenteous in mercy again. The Bible said He will not always chide. He will not always scold you. neither will he keep his anger forever. God's quick to get rid of that anger. God doesn't want to be angry with you. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, isn't that true? What if God dealt with you according to your sins? What if God addressed you if God really got you and paid you back for every sin you commit? You'd be in trouble. You'd be in a world of trouble if God dealt with you according to your sins. Thank God, as I was saying, we have a wonderful buffer between us and God, and that is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there to make intercession for us. Thank God he is what the Bible calls our paraclete. He's our attorney. He sits there on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. And should anything be brought against us, he's there to plead his blood before the Father on my behalf and your behalf. Thank God for Jesus. He is there for me and you. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God doesn't get on us as hard as we deserve for the ways we fail him now. He's merciful. The Bible says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Thank God I fear him. How high is the heaven above the earth? I don't know. I can't measure it. I don't know anybody else that can measure it either. They say they know how many miles this is and how many miles that is. I don't know that they know that at all. Just because a man wrote something in a book don't mean it's so. There's only one book I know is so, and that's the one right in front of me. Man didn't write this one. He wrote it down, but he didn't write it. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? How far is the east from the west? The Bible says, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. That's not talking, listen to me. Our transgression. A lost person, I don't believe a lost person can commit a transgression. Because to transgress means it's like regressing. It's like you were going with God and then you turned around, you went back to your sin. Now, that's only something a believer can do. A lost person ain't come out of their sin. How can they go back to it? They hadn't come out. So how far hath he removed our transgression from us? So God, again, God doesn't hold you responsible for your sin when you're saved. He will, listen, because, the judgment was put on Christ at Calvary. My judgment was put upon him. So what consequences are there? The consequences of not walking with God. That's your consequences. God is going to deal with you in this life according to the fact that you're not walking with him, you're not fearing him, you're not talking to him, you're not loving others, you're not representing him the way you should be. God is going to chasten you just like a father would a child. God is going to spank you, whip you, do whatever he needs to do to get your attention and turn you around. But God is not going to cast your soul into hell. That's for sure. Because Christ, if you are born again, if and only if you are born again, Christ has paid that payment for you. That's what he says, as far as the east is from the west. Because Jesus died for me and rose from the grave, and his blood was applied to my account, my sins have been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's hard for me to wrap my brain around. And I'll tell you why. Oftentimes I'll see Jackson do something. and he'll be messing up. He'll have an attitude or something. And I'll think to myself, that wasn't near as bad as I was. Just the other day, I don't remember what the deal was, but he had a bad attitude, and he was grouchy and grumpy, and he was out of sorts. And I told Stephanie, I said, that ain't nothing like the way I acted over mama shoe polishing my shoes one time, getting ready to go on vacation. And I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I had them Nikes all scuffed up the way I liked them, Miss Charlotte. I mean, I done wore the white off the outside. I had them just like I liked them. Well, she thought she was doing me a favor. She went and got some of that white shoe polish, and she did a quick job on all. I mean, in all fairness, Mama, it did look terrible. But she was trying. I give her an A for effort. She tried, okay? But, well, I still have a problem with it. I'm sorry. No, she did the best she could. She thought she was doing something good for me. But me being a teenager, I didn't want that done, and I threw a fit. She probably should have whooped me with a stick, but she didn't. Instead, I had to stay home. I didn't go, did I? I don't think I went that trip, did I? I did. I know the next one I didn't. But anyway, I shouldn't have been able to go. I'm telling you, I was worse than he ever thought about it. But that ain't no excuse for you to get worse. Okay? Don't push it thinking you can, because I was. It's a wonder I didn't wind up in jail. Only by the grace of God that we're talking about this morning, I didn't. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, as a father pitieth his children. Well, I can see that. I was worse than him. So it's easy for me to feel pity toward him because I was that bad. But listen, God was never that way. God was never that way. God's always been perfect. Christ walked on this earth in a human flesh. And the Bible says he was tempted in like manner so as we are. I mean, in every point, yet without sin. He never sinned. But yet he pities me. The Bible says, for he knoweth our frame. There's the reason why. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. He remembers that he was there and he made man out of the dust of the ground. We're nothing but a clod of dirt and some moisture held together by his mercy and grace. And that's all you are. You're a living soul created by the Almighty, put into a dirt ball that's alive by the miraculous power of God and held together by the miraculous power of God. And some of us, we start looking like mudslides after a while. Isn't that what happens? We're this beautiful clay sculpture that tends to turn into a mudslide before it's over. Amen? But God's merciful. Oh, he looks at us with mercy. Now, I want us to turn back over to our text. So we fast forward from the Old Testament over here to the New Testament, and we come to Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That doesn't mean Jesus is the Father. That just means Jesus is saying, everything you see in the Father, you see in me. Everything you see in me, you see in the Father. We are one and the same. Not that they're the same person, because there are three distinct persons in the Godhead, the Trinity. The Godhead is what the Bible refers to it at. Trinity is a word extra-biblical outside the Word of God. Same as rapture is an extra-biblical word, but we know it as catching away, gathering together. Still, same thing. So we turn over to Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times, and I'm sure he was just grinning from ear to ear because he thought, well, look how gracious I am. Because Jesus has got through talking about getting things right, going to your brother and trying to get everything straightened out. I mean, he had that. He had just got through talking about that. So, again, Peter wants to pop. He pipes up all the time because that's who Peter is. He likes to pipe up and try to lead the conversation. You know, I always want to be asked a question. I always got another question. People like that work our nerves sometimes.
And I'm telling you that's who Peter is. He said, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Well, you reckon why he asked seven? Because he knew that was God's number of completion. He knew that was God's perfect number. 7 days, God rested on the seventh day. You know, 7 years, 7 years of Jubilee year. I mean, there's a lot of sevens that we can turn to. 7 years of tribulation. There's a lot of sevens we can turn to, but that's not the point. But Peter said, seven times? Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven." Old fisherman Peter, I can see him sitting there counting on his fingers. It doesn't say it, but I'm sure he thought, that's 490 times. Jesus did not mean if you have to forgive somebody 490 times, the 491st time, you don't have to forgive them anymore. That's not what he's saying there. He is implying infinity. He's implying that we never come to a point in time when we run out. God doesn't run out. He's plenteous. And he said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king." So again, he's going to give us a word picture here, and he's going to teach us just like he did with the child. He said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." He wanted to reckon his books, get everything straightened out. And when he got to looking, and I mean, he must not have been a very good bookkeeper, I'm going to tell you. This king was a terrible bookkeeper, because when he started looking at his books, the Bible says one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, let's understand how much money we're talking about here. I got to looking this up, and I can't remember all the math I looked at, but I can tell you that if this man worked 6 days a week, by the average pay that a man was paid back in his time, if he worked 6 days a week, it would take him 200,000 years to pay this king back. Roughly, he owed the king, listen to me, $7.4 billion. That's a rich man. That's a rich king. That's a rich king that can just have $7.4 billion out on his books that he didn't even know he had out. That's a rich king. $7.4 billion with a B. That this man, how did this man rig up such? I don't know, but that's his debt. Okay, you'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute. But the Bible says, "But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have any money to give him to pay him back. His Lord commanded him to be sold." This man becomes a slave. He ain't got no more rights. He loses everything. And his wife. And his children. And all that he had, his house, his animals, everything in payment to be made. Do you think this man and his wife and his children and his animals was enough to pay back $7.4 billion? No. And the Bible says, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. He humbled himself before this king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." You see, he admitted that he was guilty. And he sought forgiveness. "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him," so he let him out of his bondage. And not only did he let him out of his bondage, look here, he forgave him the debt. But the same servant just got forgiven. He went out and found one of his fellow servants, just like him, which owed him 100 pence. Now, I'm not a ancient economics major, so I really don't know the rate of exchange, but the people smarter than me worked it out and said that you could compare the debt between the one man and the fellow servant, $1 for every million this guy owed. the guy owed him, $1 per million that he owed the king. So, I don't know, maybe that's $7,000 compared to $7 billion. And he went to that guy and he said, hey, he laid hands on him. He grabbed him. I guess he threw him up against the wall. He took him by the throat. I want you to picture the maliciousness of his attitude. He grabbed him, he threw him, and he took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that dollar." I mean, this is not kind at all. This is no compassion whatsoever. It's the exact opposite. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Isn't that exactly what he just said to the king? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He threw him into debtor's prison. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They said, "We can't believe this. This is horrible." And they came and told unto their lord all that was done. So they went back to the king and they said, "King, you won't believe how this man's acted. You just forgave him this huge debt, and he went out and acted like a mob boss on this fellow servant that just owed him a little amount, and he had no compassion at all." Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespassers. Now let me just say this. That doesn't say God's going to cast somebody into hell that's saved. That's not what that's teaching. But you see there where the man said he didn't have anything to pay, and they commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all he had to make the payment to be made. This king, this immense debt that we're looking at, this immense debt, this huge debt, $7.4 billion debt this man had, that represents our sin debt before God. And the payment to be made, this man would have had to live and work every day, 6 days a week, for 200,000 years to pay this king back for what his debt was. That's not counting anything for himself or his family or anything. That's just working every day with everything you got for somebody to pay them off. That's an immense debt that can never be paid. And that represents our sin debt. There's no way we could ever, if we could stop sinning, if we could ever pay back the debt that we owe to God, there's no way. And all we can do is come to Him and confess and admit and ask for mercy. "Oh God, have mercy on me." And God is plenteous in mercy and will forgive us if we believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the sacrifice for sin. He's the payment that was made for us. He suffered in our place. He went through the agonies of death, a cruel death, much worse than we could ever imagine. And the sin of the whole world was placed upon Him. And He suffered in one little short span of time all the sin of all eternity. And He paid it. And it was done for us on our behalf. That's the love and the mercy and the compassion of God. And God raised him and he showed that it was done. It was finished. It was settled. The payment was made. And for a child who's been paid for like that, to go out and be brutal and cruel to someone else is not representing the Father at all. And God's blessings is not going to be upon that man. That man's going to have a hard life. That man's not going to know the pleasures of relationship with God, with ugliness and hatred toward his brother in his heart. God is not going to give him his favor. He is going to live a life from that point on of bitterness and anger and hatred, and he's not going to have the love of God in his life. until he comes to repentance himself. You cannot live a Christian life with bitterness in your heart towards someone else. Plain and simple. If you cannot forgive somebody, God is not going to forgive you, and your life is going to be a living hell. You're not going to hell for all eternity, but you're going to have hell down here. Because you're going to try to live as a Christian with no support. Think about it. You ain't going to have no support. Now listen, we're going to look at this. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26. Mark 11, 25 and 26. The Bible says, Mark 11, 25 and 26, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any," if you got anything against anybody, "why? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." You go in him and say, "Oh God, please forgive me. I was angry and I was ugly with somebody. Please forgive me, Lord, for the way I acted." You want God to forgive you? "But I'm not going to let, I ain't never going to forgive what she said to me." No, well then God ain't going to forgive you. "I just can't get past the way they treated me." Well, you know what? Then you're not going to get, God's not going to deal with the way you treated somebody else. You want forgiveness? Then you forgive. "Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Do you want God to forgive you? Do you want, when you come to him and say, "Lord, please forgive me. Oh, Lord, I need you in my life. Please forgive me." And God says, "Okay, well then, what about that person? What about the way you feel about them? What about the way you talk about them? What about the way you treat them? What about that? What about that feeling you have in your heart toward that person? And every time their name is called, that ugliness and that bitterness comes seeping out of the pores of your heart and courses through your brain and you feel like hurting them. What about that?" Hey, listen, there's a lot of people in this world that I don't particularly care for. I don't want around me because they've hurt me, and they only cause harm when they're around. Yes, there are people like that, but do I want them hurt? No. Do I want them to suffer? No. Do I want them to go to hell? No. If I see them in trouble, would I relish it and say, "Ha, ha, ha, look at you. Dad, you deserve that." No. Is the desire, I mean, listen, does your flesh ever make you want to do that? Sure. But is that godly? Absolutely not. But if you do not forgive, Jesus said, if you do not forgive, if you say, "No, forget it. Oh, no, I ain't never forgiven them." No, you forget that. Not after what they did. Not after what they said. Not after the way they acted. Not after the way they did that or this, that, or other, whatever. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. There ain't going to be no forgiveness. God is not going to fellowship with you. You're not going to get your prayers answered. Your blessings are not going to flow. Help ain't coming. That scares the living daylights out of me. God is not going to reward evil. God is not going to bless evil. God is not going to say, "Oh, that's okay. I'll love on you and forgive you anyway, even though you got bitterness and ugliness in your heart towards somebody else." Nope. Turn to Luke 17.
Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Again, Jesus speaks on forgiveness. Take heed to yourselves. Pay attention to how you are. Pay attention to the way you do. If thy brother trespass against thee. This is somebody, listen, this is somebody close to you. This is not necessarily your brother after the flesh. This is your brother after the Spirit of God. This is a child of God. And they do something to hurt you. And yes, children of God sometimes do things to hurt other children of God. If thy brother trespass against thee, how do I handle it? The Bible says rebuke him. What does that mean? That means, hey, I didn't like the way you acted. Hey, what you did wasn't right. Hey, the way you talked to me was not right. That hurt. I didn't like that. That didn't feel very good. That's the way God says we're to deal with it. Confront them. And the Bible says, and if he repent, forgive him. If he's wrong and he admits it, he confesses and he seeks forgiveness, forgive him. Okay. Well, Jesus said, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. Well, they did it twice. You know what we'd all do. Well, they didn't mean it the first time. Get out of here. I don't even want to talk to you. Don't even come around me talking to that. I don't want to hear it. Just shut up and get out of here. That's the way we'd act. You done been up in here twice. 3 times. The same thing today. You think I'm going to forgive you? Yeah, we'd do. Let's be honest. Let's don't sugarcoat it and try to pretend like we're sanctimonious and so holy that we don't ever do anything wrong. Because you know cotton picking well. We'd all act that way at a point. Jesus said if he does it 7 times a day. And 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Here's what Jesus said, thou shalt forgive him. You know what the disciples said? The disciples said, the Lord, increase our faith. Help us. You can't do that in the flesh. You can't. You can't do it. Listen, this is important. Pay attention. You can't forgive 7 times a day in your natural flesh. Your natural flesh says, uh-uh. You can't get in your flesh. You got to seek God in it. You got to say, Lord, you forgave me. How many times a day do I fall down and do the same stupid thing over and over and over again? How many times in a week do I do the same thing over and over again? How many times in a year do I do the same thing over and over and over again? And you still forgive me. That's the way I ought to be. Because that's the way you want me to be. You can't do it in your flesh. If you say, well, you know, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't know if I could do that at all. Well, you know what? You spend most time in your flesh then. Because God says we can do it. Told us right there. You can't do it in your flesh. You have to have God increase your faith. And you know what Jesus said right after that? He said, well, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He said, look, you're going to have some faith. You're going to have to look to me. You're going to have to keep your eyes on me. You're going to have to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find out who I am. Get to know me. Watch me. Listen to me. Quit listening to this stinking world, which is going to lead you to the path of destruction and lead you to a path of isolation and a life with no relationship with me. And get out of the TV and get out of the internet and get your head in the Bible and understand who I am. If we'll do that, we'll know him. Okay, I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. We're almost done. Ephesians 4. In verse 32. We'll look and see what Paul said. Let's see if Paul is in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ and David and everybody else. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted,
You see, if you're tender-hearted, you're easy to forgive. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Don't forgive according to how everybody else around you does it. Because if you look to your mama and daddy and how they did it, they may have been a bunch of jerks. Hey, listen, if you even look to your pastor and try to follow how he does it, he's a man, he fails too. Look around you. You're not going to find a good enough example of how to forgive unless you look to Christ, because he forgave everything. God forgave you for Christ's sake, is what I should have said. Because of him, God forgave you. Not because of you, but because of Jesus and his sacrifice, God forgave you. Because of Jesus and his sacrifice, you should forgive them. Because Jesus did what he did for you, you can then say, compared to that, everything else is easy. He did the hardest thing anybody could have ever done for me. So anything that I do doesn't even come close to what he did for me. But he is the example that was set for me. And I'm to do it as he did it. That's what Stephen was doing when they were stoning him to death. And he stood up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as the stones were raining down upon his head. He cried out the same words of Christ from the cross. Why? Because he learned this truth. He is our example in forgiveness. And lastly, I want you to turn to 1 John. You probably know it by heart, but we're going to turn there and read it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, Lord, I got bitterness in my heart towards somebody. And I know it's wrong. And I know you don't want it there. And I know it stands in between you and I. And I know that my relationship with you is not what it should be because of my sin. And Lord, I want you to forgive me, and I want you to cleanse my heart of this bitterness that I have toward this person. And Lord, I want you to remove that, and I want you to replace that bitterness with love toward them and a desire to see their good and not bad come to them. Lord, I want you to forgive me for not forgiving. Lord, I want you to make it so that if I see them, you give me a heart that wants to be kind to them, even though they may not deserve kindness, just as I didn't deserve kindness, and you've been so good to me ever since I got saved. Lord, I pray that you would help me to love this person the way you love them. The way our heart ought to, that's the attitude we ought to have. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Every single time. If he ever chose not to forgive, he wouldn't be faithful. He's faithful. And he's just. And the reason he's just to forgive is because Christ has made it possible. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to get it right with him, something in your life that you know isn't right, we can do it this morning. You don't have to get up and come nowhere, but you can do it right where you sit. You can ask God to forgive you for something you got in your heart towards somebody else. Listen to me, you need to think it over. Maybe the Holy Ghost of God is trying to get your attention, but you're trying to shoo him away. I'm telling you right now, if there's somebody, if there's something, because listen to me, listen, you don't want something terrible to happen and you have to try to get a hold of God and have to remember what's in the way between you and God. I'm going to tell you, I can't remember, it was one of those great preachers of the past that said, keep short accounts with God. Don't let it build up. Confess your sins. Ask God, Lord, is there anybody that if I saw them today that I'd have bitterness and animosity toward?
Is there anybody today that I wish was harmed? Is there anybody today I wish something bad would happen to? Lord, is there anybody that I couldn't stand to even see? Lord God, if there's somebody like that, please forgive me for feeling that way. And please help them. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bless them that curse us. We're supposed to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. That's Christ-like. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go to God this morning. Let's get things out of the way. Let's get a weight lifted off of us. And let's get free from the things that would hinder our relationship with Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before You this morning. Lord, on behalf of myself. And I pray and I ask You, Lord, to show me if there's anybody in my life that I feel that way about. That I wish them harm or that I wish evil come unto them. And Lord, if there's somebody in my life like that, I pray that, Lord, You'd bring them to my attention that I might be able to confess it and get it cleansed out of the way. But, Lord, I want to walk with You and I want to know You better today than I did yesterday and better tomorrow than I did today. And so I ask You, please, forgive my sin. I ask You, please, forgive me and cleanse me. And bring me into Your presence. Flood my soul with Your love and Your compassion. And Lord, may I be able to share that with others. Father, I pray if someone out there under the sound of my voice is lost, Lord, You help them to realize that they owe a debt to God they could never pay. They owe a debt that they could never pay. And they'll have to spend eternity in hell. And they can never pay it back. They'll have to suffer forever in agony and torment. They can never pay it back. Oh, Lord, I plead with You this morning. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me. Please cleanse my heart, my mind, my life. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father, for that person. I pray, Lord, earnestly that You might convict them and show them that they have a sin debt that they've got to have settled. Oh, Lord, may they come to the cross, humbly bow before You, seeking forgiveness, accepting the sacrifice that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ and getting their sins washed away. Oh, Lord, I pray for that soul this morning. I pray, Lord, they'd come to You and however they word that prayer, Lord, that they get that forgiveness. Lord, I pray for all the Christians that are listening to me this morning. Lord, that we may have something in our life that needs to be cleansed away. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost would put His finger on it this morning to make it so plain and obvious and let us deal with it, Lord. Let's get it out of the way. Father, I ask You to forgive us now. Lord, I ask You to show us Your love, show us Your favor. Lord, we love You and we thank You now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.